What's up, OTJ family? Thanks for coming back for another on the Jumbotron episode. Here's your public service announcement for today. If your lips are dry and cracky, go put some chapstick on, cause this episode will have you laughing for the next hour plus, and we aren't gonna be sued cause you bleeding. Today's guest is BDOT. You've seen and heard him on MTV's Wild and Out, on the radio, announcing at WSSU and FAMU football games, and hyping the crowd up at North Carolina Tar Heel basketball games and across America. This episode will definitely have you laughing, but also learning about the business of PA announcing, arena hosting, and more. Let's not wait any longer. Here's your host, Christopher Lee.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Jumbotron podcast. Got a special guest for you today. He's almost like a brother to me. I think I can say that. Because he is my brother. We are actually related, which is real cool because I've seen this cat grow up. He's seen me grow up, and he is doing phenomenal, phenomenal things in the business of sports, in the business of business, in the business of a lot of different things. And I'm just so proud of him. I'm not even going to wait. I'm going to bring him in right now. BDOT, what's up, bro?
What's happening, my guy? What's happening, my brother?
Let's do that, man. Let's do that. I'm excited. Thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, for sure.
Bro, we go back years.
No, years. Like before teenagers.
Before teenagers. Before, like, both of us are, like, fine now. I can say that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm mature in who I am.
Yeah. Back, but very, I mean, unattractive. Very unattractive. Then, big glasses. Like, I'm talking about not the freshest shoes, like, just wanting the world, but just always having fun in each other's company, man. Like, we always had a good time. Like, whether I came to your crib, whether we was at church, whether we was on the road, it didn't matter, man. Like, we always, from the moment we first met each other, like, we always had, like, a kindred love for each other. And it's dope to be here 30 years later and still being able to assist each other professionally. This is dope.
Yeah, I mean, because we were friends at first, and then our parents became friends.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
And now we're brothers. We're brothers. Give me a high five.
Okay. Things happen.
Things happen. Yeah. But, you know, it's been great. It's been good. And I'm glad you in my life. I'm glad that we have a kindred spirit of laughter.
Right.
We have the kindred spirit of sports. We have the kindred spirits of, you know, Carolina basketball.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of things in common. And so I wanted you to be on a podcast. Typically, we interview, you know, video professionals and stuff like that, the ones that actually making content for the Jumbotron. But as I thought about it, I'm like, your voice comes from the Jumbotron. And you are just as part of game day as the person is with the camera, as the football player or the basketball player on the court, on the field. Your voice resonates throughout the entire arena.
I'm there to assist for the camera people for the stuff that goes on the Jumbotron.
Say that again.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, that's one of my innate skill sets, being able to just be off the cuff and just be with improv and things of that nature. So I really excel when people are up on the Jumbotron and they're dancing and pointing everybody's attention to that, and that excites the audience. And then you got everybody. So now the camera people really going to work, especially when we've been in spaces like the Dean Dome, where you got four or five different camera guys and they cut the cameras on. We dancing and I see you and, oh, who's going to out dance that? Who knows how to do this dancing? And it's just a good time, man. The Jumbotron really enhances the experience at any sporting event. Absolutely. When it's done correctly.
When it's done correctly. You are right about that. But before we get too far, what was your first on mic experience?
It's interesting, Chris. I just had the revelation, because as you know, and your audience will now know, my mom passed May 5th. And my senior year in high school, she didn't let me play football. She told me she wanted me to focus on my grades. And it really upset me. It upset me for years and years. And I was talking to one of my friends recently, and I told him, I was like, man, I still be angry. My mom didn't let me play football my senior year. He was like, well, what did you do that year that you didn't play football? I said, she let me be the manager for the team. So, like, I got to go to the games and stuff. And I would be in the press box keeping stats and doing film and stuff like that, And in that moment, I had a revelation, like, dang, like, she introduced me to the press box by not letting me play football. And he was like, do you think you would have the career you have now if you would have played football your senior year? And absolutely not. And wow. For 30 plus years, Chris, I was angry with my mother. Like, weeks before she passed, we went and had this beautiful moment at the park. And we sitting out at the park having smoothies and just having a good Lindley Park over there off East Market, yeah. I mean, West Market. You know what I mean? And we just cooling. And I said, Ma, you know, I never forgave you for not letting me play football my senior year. And she said, well, baby, you need to let that go because you can't get into heaven with that. And I remember being so mad in that moment. Like,
that sounds just like her, though.
You scarred me for 30 years and you still won't apologize. Now in hindsight, like, that was my introduction to the press box back in 1997. Wow. And then I went on to Winston-Salem State a couple years later, and I was the band announcer. One of my good friends, Willie, he was in the band. He played tuba. He said, yo, we're looking for somebody to be the announcer during the halftime shows. You think you'll be interested? And I said, yeah. And I did that my freshman year. That's what I did for the band. So I would go to games, and at the home games, I would just be entertaining and talk junk about the other bands and just all types of stuff. Just being me, being ridiculous up there. Yeah. But that was my introduction to actually speaking in the press box for like thousands. And I was like, yo, this is super fun. But even at that point, I didn't have any thoughts or desires to do PA announcing. None of those worlds had collided yet.
That is crazy. And now you are as much as far as the team as the coach. I mean, because you're not really calling the plays, but you're giving play by play of things that are going on. You're introducing what's coming up next. I mean, that's wild. And I'm glad that you were able to come to that revelation of that and that inspiration of that. And now your whole mindset is different, that she has blessed you in that way. And you didn't even, you were just mad because you didn't get a chance to play.
Exactly. Like, it's my senior year, man. It's the last year in high school. You don't get that year back. And I really, really wanted to play football, but it wasn't until she passed that I realized she set up the trajectory of my life, because I've been able to provide for my families off of PA announcing and arena hosting and just entertaining people. And that's just a blessing, bro.
I was talking to this other guy. We did a podcast earlier this season. His name is Cameron Hughes, and he is a professional super fan, meaning he goes to different arenas and they pay him to come in to dance, to entertain the crowd and different stuff like that. His story was almost similar to yours, because he wanted to play basketball and he got cut. He didn't even make the team in high school. And he was upset because he really wanted to make it for his mom and, you know, be proud and stuff like that. And she's spoken to him and pretty much said, you need to find a way to still be part of the team. And he didn't understand that. He just went on about his life. He went to a game and at the game, it was like the energy was so low. The music started playing. The DJ played some music. He just gets up and starts dancing. Gets up, entertains the crowd, about 10,000 people looking at him. He sits down. He thinks nothing of it. The next time out, music plays again. All the people turn and look at him like, what you going to do? He gets up. He starts dancing again. And he did that, I think, like maybe one or two other times throughout that game. The fourth time, the management company of the arena in the team came to him and said, hey, can we get your information? We want you to come back the next game and just do what you did. You excited the crowd. You made them all happy. Everybody started, you know, enjoying the game. And you really changed our game day experience. And he was like, yeah. So they gave him some tickets to the next six games. And then he started doing the same thing. He is now dancing in the NBA Finals.
I love it. Love it.
The Olympics.
I love
the
it.
The U.S. Open. I mean, this cat has been to, I think, like five or six different countries.
That's amazing.
Man. Entertaining and dancing. And it all started with him dancing, you know, in his living room and his mom saying, hey, there's other ways that you can be part of the team.
Right,
your story that is that.
No, I'm going to go and check that episode out. Like, I, you know me. So, like, entertaining people and making people laugh is, that's what I've always done. So, my skill set when it comes to PA, like, I was fortunate that I did play sports. Well, I was fortunate that I did make teams in high school. I never played much, but I never got cut from nothing. Like, I always worked hard. And I would earn a helmet or some shorts, but I never got to play. But
you went to the equipment room. You were good. You could dress out.
Fan favorite in the equipment room, baby. They know me. Hey, ain't got to give him a one jersey per season. He ain't going to get it dirty, baby. Ain't got to clean it or nothing, baby.
He going to win for practice and the game.
I mean, one time we won a game, and I didn't play the whole game. And everybody was celebrating. And I went out there and celebrated, just falling all on the ground, getting my jersey dirty. Just so they would have to watch my jersey. I didn't play nothing.
Oh, my God.
Woo. It was a raining game, so everybody was running and sliding in the rain and everything. We won. I'm like, yeah!
You like, let me just get dirty, just to
I
get
dirty. I was always passionate, man. And, like, playing those sports and understanding the dynamic of the game, like, that's what makes me great at PA. Like, I know the times that the crowd needs to get behind the team and the times when we need to be the 12th man in football or the sixth man in basketball and how the crowd can really change the trajectory of a game. But I think those things mixed with my comedic timing and those type things, it just separates me in the PA space. And I just really enjoy it, bro. That's like one of my favorite. I wear a lot of hats, but doing PA and arena hosting, like, because you get instant results. I was listening to one of y'all's, I was listening to your first podcast with the guy from Virginia Tech, and he was talking about making it a one-day vacation. And I love that thought process. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when I worked at 102 Jams, our boss used to always say, I want this to be like hip-hop Disneyland or hip-hop Disney World. You know what I mean? Like, you want it to be where you go to Disney World, you meet Mickey and Minnie, and you just, they make you feel like you're the star for being there. Like, that's what I want to do and provide and the energy I want to deliver when I'm doing PA. Like, this may be the only game you ever come to. I want it to be an experience. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the mindset that a lot of us in this business need to have. This may be your first game or your last game. And we need to give all the energy, all the excitement, anything that we have ever thought about for this game, we need to give it.
Bro, one of the biggest compliments you can ever get is, I don't have any pictures or videos because I wasn't even on my phone. Like, I was doing so much stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that is a testament to the greatness of the game day experience, dog.
We'll be back to continue this convo after this short break from our sponsor.
Ever wonder how those fans on the Jumbotron always look camera ready? It's all thanks to Fan Beauty Supply. From long-lasting lipsticks to sweat-proof foundations, Glam Fan has everything you need to stay flawless from the tailgate to the final whistle. Visit glamfanbeauty.com and use code JUMBO for 20% off your first purchase. Fan Beauty Supply, because looking good is part of the game.
Want to elevate your brand? Join us as a sponsor and shine bright on the podcast. Inform, entertain, inspire. Contact us today to become a sponsor at otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com. That's the letters otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com.
Let's get back to the pod with Christopher Lee and B-Dot.
Now, if some players thought about that and people spending their hard-earned money to come and watch them play, they may get up a little bit more. But as for game day entertainers and entertainment providers, that's the mindset that we all have to be in. that this may be this person's only time to be at this game, and they paid their money to be here. So I need to do what I need to do to make it the most memorable moment for them. You dig that?
100%, man. Like, and I take that very, very seriously. Like, there, I'm taking a million pictures. I want to take pictures with everybody again. Hip Hop Disney World. Like, when you go to Disney World, everybody's got their mask on. They taking pictures. They smiling. Like, you, I want to take a picture with Pluto. Donald Duck, Daisy Duck. Like, that's how you have to be. Like, and regardless of where I am, if I'm doing PA for Winston-Salem State football, arena hosting for Carolina basketball, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets the same attention. Everybody gets the same eye contact. Everybody gets the same. And try to make each individual conversation matter, bro.
Who are your influencers and your mentors in PA and hosting?
It's strange because I never really studied people to do what I do, like whether it's radio or arena hosting or PA. It was never like, gosh, I want to do it like those guys. It's really a lane that I sort of forged for myself. But in this space, I've met and been introduced to great PA and arena hosts. Dale down in Uptown Dale in Miami, he does the arena hosting for the Miami Heat and a bunch of Miami sports. But he's freaking amazing. When I got to Winston-Salem State, the voice that was doing PA was Al Roseboro. Al Roseboro is still like legendary to me. He's a CIAA Hall of Famer, Winston-Salem State Hall of Famer. His sister was one of my professors at Winston-Salem State, Marilyn Roseboro. So those two names immediately come to mind. Will Durham, big fan of Will Durham, man. Just knowing that name and the history of that name. And then when I finally got a chance to meet him with my ties with Josh Graham and Carolina Athletics, just being in his presence, he's such a silly, goofy guy that he doesn't even realize how enamored I am to be around him. And like, he just talks junk about me and B-dot this and B-dot that and I love it so much because it makes me feel so welcomed by somebody who I've admired for years. Like, in this space, it's difficult sometimes because all you know them is their voice. It's not too many times you know them by face and stuff like that. So a lot of times when you're hearing people, like, there are so many people that I hear on radio, sports radio specifically, and I talk, like, I argue with them, I have emotions, and then I meet Tim Donnelly, and I'm like, hey, I'm a fan of yours. Or I meet Josh Brown, I'm like, hey. Or I meet Adam Gold, I'm like, yo. So it's like, I don't really have people that I try to pattern my career after, but I do have a lot of respect for a lot of people in this field.
So, I mean, there's really no way to, is there a way to train for this, for, to be a PA announcer?
It's funny you ask that. I actually have a course that I started myself. It's a 6-week course and it's titled Who's Hosting? And what's funny is when I was watching your podcast, the first episode with the VTech guy, I was like, yo, I'm going to use some of these episodes for the course because I'm in my second one right now. And I think I'm going to do it again in the spring. But in the course is aspiring PA announcers or arena hosts, right? But in my first course, I had a female named Nikki who DJed, right? So I started introducing to them the concept of game day entertainment and how there's so many different roles and so many different components to game day entertainment, game day manager, or whether you're doing the music with DJ, whether you're PAing, whether you're arena hosting, and all of those work together because it's a game inside of a game that the fans know nothing about. Like, the fans are just think they're just there to watch a basketball game, and wow, they're giving money, and wow, they dance camming, and oh, they kiss camming, and oh, and like, it's so much stuff going on, and they leave, and like, man, the game, we lost by 20 points and I had the time of my life. How did that happen? That's when you know you have won. You know what I'm saying? And so teaching them those components was fun. And then we would watch videos on some weeks and let them do PA over the videos and that type vibe. And then I have I have connections to where I have people that do basketball open runs and stuff like that. So we got some in the field experience with them going out and doing the PA for the open gym games, your open run games and stuff like that. It's a shadow program where you can shadow me in the press box and see how it goes down. Because as you know, when you're outside in the stands, you're just hearing what's coming through. It's like the duck. The duck is just up top above the water, just la 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 la. But in the press box, he's freaking going crazy. Tell him to get off the field. We're gonna get a penalty right now. Tell him we need to read this right now. We got 2 seconds. Like, yo, oh my God. And y'all side is really crazy with camera this, camera that, camera. That room is insane. And all of that has to come together to have one great experience for a game day. And that's and as soon as that game is over, it's over. We focus on the next one. And that's so crazy. But
yeah.
So when you say, so to answer your question, can you train? Yes, you can. You can sign up for my 6-week course in the spring, and we can teach you all the things on how to train. But
we'll drop a link.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like working on things like enunciation, things like that. Those are things you can work on your own time. But the most basic thing that I teach in the course is when you're doing PA, your job is to let the people know what happened on the field, period, or the court. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. That's your job. Now, if you should happen to accent something that happened in the crowd, well, that's just things that you're adding. And the more that you can add for that, that's what makes your personality your personality. Now, that's different from arena host. Arena host ain't telling the people nothing is going on during the game. All they're focused on is the entertainment and the timeout breaks. So they're having to do reads and sponsorships and da da da. So that's a totally different lane from PA. You know what I'm saying? So like, do you want to be in front of the people throwing shirts and I need you to stand up and make some? Do you want to be that person? Or do you know enough about the sport where you can talk about, we are this 1st and 10 here at the 32. We have a new quarterback in. Like, which side are you on? And that, which is totally different from play by play on the radio, color commentator. You know, so it's so many different factors to that joint. Yeah.
But they kind of all work together too. Because one, you have to know the game. Mm-hmm. You have to understand where you are. You have to know your placement. Mm-hmm. You have to know enough to be knowledgeable of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That is so key. I mean, and you're right. Going back to the duck, there are so many things going on behind the scenes that fans have no idea. The amount of meetings that you have to before you even go. The amount of content that you need to have in case of a rain delay. The amount of the breaks and everything that you go through with marketing, and marketing has this, and you got to get this read in 15 seconds or this read in 30 seconds because you don't want to step on the media timeout. Yeah,
we
know
didn't drop
about
the court
it.
On the second first horn. Get off the court. Get off the. We need them. I don't give a. Get them. It's like, oh my God. And now, but you can't be saying, all right, get off the court. Like, you still have to be professional. All right. We're just going to get this on the sidelines. Come on over here, guys. Like, geez,
exactly. Exactly. So,
like, for example, not to put a timestamp on this interview, but the reason I have my robe on is because my Cowboys won last night. And whenever the Cowboys win, it's winning robe Monday. But to your point, the rain delay they had last night. Can you imagine the headsets were on fire. And I was so impressed because I'm sitting there watching all the pregame. And I'm like, they are doing a great job of talking about the old games again in a different way. And like just trying to throw in little spots that they did. Oh, here's an interview with Mike Tomlin that we found in the stash from 2006. Like, that's about whatever they had that they could throw out. It was a 90-minute rain delay.
And the thing is, they plan for that. Now, there are some teams that don't plan for that. There are some colleges that don't plan for that. And then you're scrambling. And the only thing you will probably see up on the Jumbotron is rain delay announcement, stand in the concourse because of lightning, or some other stuff. If it's indoors, I remember lights went out at some game. I think it was it an NBA game or something like that. The lights went out and they had to figure out all the lighting and stuff like that. And I mean, and then you have to figure out, you know, what we're going to do. Is the DJ going to play here or is the DJ not going to play here? Right. We need to get notes to the PA announcer so he can let the people know that, no, we're not under attack or anything. It's just, we're trying to figure this out. Right. I mean, there's just so much going on and the fan is just at the game.
Yes.
And thinking, okay, how can I be entertained? Because we don't want the fans at the game looking at this stuff.
Facts.
We want them looking at the video board. We want them looking at our cheerleaders. We want them looking at the game day entertainment. If there's a drum line, we want the drum line down there entertaining. We want all this stuff going on because to me, this is like a mini Jumbotron. You call it a mini-tron, whatever you want to call it. But we want, when we have the people come to the game, we want them focused on what's going on and not just on their phone, because they're going to be on their phones anytime they want to. But if they are on their phones, that means we're not entertaining them.
Bro, one of the biggest compliments you can ever get is, I don't have any pictures or videos because I wasn't even on my phone. Like, we was doing so much stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that is a testament to the greatness of the game day experience, though.
That is so true. Man, you are, you do a lot of different things. You mentioned that you wear a lot of different hats. Let's just go through your background of different shows and stuff you've been on and movies and go for it.
I hate doing this part, but I mean, I did 5 seasons on Wildin' Out, and that was freaking amazing. That was my first time on national television. That one made mommy very, very proud. I had a Mama Dot shirt on television, and she really loved that. My guy James Davis, he had a show, Hood Adjacent, that got me on Comedy Central. Walter Latham is a big guy who did the Kings of Comedy tour, and he did a show, or he did a comedy series in Miami called Comedy After Dark, that got me on HBO. I have a podcast that's very successful. Third season now, we hit 3 million downloads in the first season. It's called I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either, where we do Black History Facts in February. 3 to 5 minute episodes daily in February. Season 4 will be coming February 1st. We did a partnership with Nissan last season, which was beautiful. Definitely looking forward to doing some more ventures and some collabs with them in the future. And then as it pertains to the Jumbotron, PA announcing for Winston-Salem State football and basketball is where I started 20 years ago, 2004. Since then, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to do PA announcing. I did the PA for Chris Paul. He brought a celebrity game to Winston-Salem State with D-Wade, Bron, Melo, Kyrie, Steph, Rudy Gay, Tristan, all of them was in there. Did that at Winston-Salem State. Because I was the PA announcer for Winston-Salem State and Chris Paul and our friends, I got the blessing to do that. That's all on YouTube. You can find that. Had a ball doing that. Let's see. Charlotte Hornets, arena host. Greensboro Swarm, arena host and PA announcer. I'm the PA announcer currently for FAMU football. And I just enjoy doing PA announcing and arena hosting, man. Chris does a D1 and a D2 tournament in Vegas and Connecticut. This would be the 4th year for that. And I'm the premier arena host and PA announcer for that. And, yeah, man, anytime. I wanted to get the Hornets job, man, but they didn't give it to me. I was trying. My guy, Big Pat. Pat was, when you talk about somebody I looked up to, Big Pat was one of those ones. He's a graduate of Morgan State. And he passed this year. And he was just a good friend of mine, a good dude, man.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I worked with Pat, too. Because, you know, I did the drums.
Dang. Yeah.
You know. At the arena.
It is crazy too, Chris, how many times our worlds have done this.
Right.
Through the years. Like, seriously.
Right.
That is bizarre. Like, even you at VTech, like Jonathan playing football at VTech.
Right.
You coming to work in Carolina and us just missing each other like by a pew, pew, pew.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Right. The best Pat story I got, because I was just quizzing him one day. I'm like, dude, how do you get your voice to sound so good? He said, I take a shot of this before I go on air. I was like, okay. Can I have some?
And he is so serious about that, too.
He's serious. That was awesome, though, man. Yes, I mean, the ultimate professional.
Yes.
Professional.
Yes.
And then down to earth well. I mean, he spoke to everybody he came in contact with.
He knew
your name. He was just sitting and chill with you as well. But when it was game time, it was game time. What did you learn from Pat?
And don't bother him. And when he got the voice, when he was on NBA 2K, like stuff like that, that's just legendary stuff. Like, his voice will live forever.
Ever.
And like, when you're doing our line of work, that's the goal. You know what I mean? That's the goal. Like, to know that I can't wait to see how the Hornets pay tribute to him this season. Mm-hmm. You know, just, you know, by him not being there, like, you know, Pat. But to that point, I auditioned for that and didn't get it and was sick. Oh, mm-hmm. I was devastated. Didn't even get an audition. They didn't even let me come in and audition. I was the PA announcer for the Greensboro Swarm for 4 seasons. Arena host for 3 seasons. I thought that was me putting in my work.
Right, right. But you know what? It's not over yet.
No, just me and God got something else for me, man. I ain't tripping. Yeah.
Are you going to get in there? I mean, it's not over. What's your most memorable call? You know, game, whatever.
I think the most memorable game would definitely be the one I just referenced, the Chris Paul All-Star game. It was 2010. It was a lockout year. And that's when they were doing that traveling, going to different gyms and playing. And Chris, I remember Chris and CJ called me. CJ is Chris's brother. And they were like, yo, we want to bring the tour to Winston. And I was like, man, that'll be dope, man. Not thinking they talking, I'm like, man, that'll be dope, man. The city would love that. They was like, yeah. And I'm just automatically thinking, of course he's going to take it to Wake Forest. Like, he went to Wake Forest.
Right.
Like, he was like, yeah, man. And, you know, we could go to Wake Forest with it, but I think we want to do it at Winston-Salem State. I said, y'all want to do what? He was like, yeah, man, I think we want to take it to Winston-Salem State, man. And it was like, and it's only right you do the PA for it.
Feeling your lap.
Are y'all telling me that y'all are going to bring the NBA tour to Winston-Salem State University and I get to do the PA? That's what we're telling you. Bro, that event is talked about to this day. Either you were there or you won't. Somebody started making fake tickets. So people who had real tickets didn't get to get in. Like, it was standing room only. Bron threw his shoes in the crowd at the end of the game. Like, he gave Isaiah his headband. I still have LeBron's headband.
I bet it stank. Right now.
It still got the Beijing around the daggone back part of it.
Not the Beijing. LeBron gonna see this episode and be like, yo.
Yo, that wasn't even funny, bro.
That wasn't even funny. What do you like most about your job?
That no two games are the same.
Oh, so word.
It's a different experience every single game, every single night, whether it's football or basketball. Like, you can literally play the exact same games during the timeouts, and it's still gonna be a totally different experience every single time. And I just love that, man. Like, I love the, because I'm not good with monotony. Like, monotony, it drives me insane. Like, it just, but so when you have a job, like, where you know you're going to do X amount of football games a season or X amount of basketballs, there's some monotony in that. But there's so much in between that's so off the charts and you don't know where it's going to go. That just totally negates the monotonous part of it being games, games, games. So I just love that. I love being able to reinvent the wheel every single game. Like, it's just fun.
Right. How do you stay? Because this is difficult for video professionals, right? You're getting blown out. I mean, the game is just, it's like the other day, what, 70-25, you know, a game in football. How do you stay alert? How do you stay energetic to keep the crowd into it in, like, upside down scores like that?
A good friend of mine, his name is DP, and he does PA for Winston State basketball. And he's like my brother. You dig what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So we joke a lot because the basketball team is doing better than the football team right now. So he tells me that, you know, we over here winning and that kind of foolishness.
Right.
But I tell him that I became a legend at Winston-Salem State, PA, because people would have fun at games where we were getting curb stomped. I'm talking about 45-0. You come to the game, you know we're going to lose.
Right.
And you still have a good time. You dig what I'm saying? Because in those moments, for me, it's about the fan experience. And we all see we getting smacked. So as a PA announcer, I'll address that. And there's another touchdown for the visitors. You ask them to stop, they won't. They just keep on scoring. And everybody's laughing like hell at that. You know what I'm saying? Like the visiting team, they're laughing. The home team, they're laughing. And it's the reality of the situation. And I've had to say that during the game before.
You are not saying that.
Oh, I've said that in the game. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's the, like, the transparency from the PA position is the most important thing. Like, don't try to be all knowing. Like, if you don't know what a call, if they out there deliberating and nobody knows what's going on, say right. that, because we're all confused. Okay. And don't make me feel stupid for being confused if you're confused too. So I don't mind subjecting myself to that type of ridicule. Like, the refs are still, the ref gave us no signal there. I'm not really sure what the call is, but I do know it is a Rams first down. So I don't know what it is either, but who cares? First down. Like, I'm that type of announcer. Like, and it's different to a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the typical just giving you the cut and drop. Like, the average announcer is not going to say what I just said if a team is scoring their 49th point on us. But why not? Like, that's always my, like, why can't it be entertaining up here? And then it's like, all right, well, let's cheerleaders, make some, the cheerleaders or the band, or let's do the wave, or having fun with the announcements. Well, now that you know this game is over, the next home game is October 5th. Maybe we'll have better results. Need you to be there. It's that type of, so it's, dang, we was getting our butts kicked, but the PA announcer was funny. Like, he was good. He was good. We won in the PA department.
You mentioned the band earlier. That there's a clip of Southern playing, Southern University playing, and the PA announcer had told them to stop playing. And the band, you know, kicked up again. No, he said, we don't need anybody playing like right now. And then he dropped the band's name, Southern. Have you seen that clip?
I have not, but I want to.
I will send it to you.
Please send that to me. Southern was the visiting team.
I think Southern was the visiting team.
Okay. So the home announcer is trying to throw some shade. Oh, here we go. This one said, you never tell a band to stop playing, especially Southern. I know the band cranked his ass. We got to do what? Say less. See, like, that was my introduction again. Like I told you earlier, Chris, like, I started with the band. So, like, they are so petty, yo. And I absolutely love the pettiness.
They cranked up, boy.
He pissed them off.
Southern. Hear them horns.
Got everything for my mama. La, 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 la. And then they do it, bitch. But see, like, the announcer, I totally would have did that same thing.
Right.
I would have did the exact same thing.
You would have done
and
that.
When the band would have punched at me just like that, we would have been in the press box laughing like, oh, and I would have said something after that. Like, touche, touche. Like, I would have just left it at that. Like, because you can't really respond to that because Southern's band is crazy.
So what sets you apart, man, from other PA announcers? Is your comedy.
I'm just unapologetically me, Chris. Like, for real, for real. Like, I'm just unapologetically me, bro.
B-Dot is dropping gems. So let's rewind the tape with this in case you missed it replay. Brought to you by Fun360 Cam.
It's an OTJ replay.
Brought to you by Fun360 Cam.
Passionate, man. And, like, playing those sports and understanding the dynamic of the game. Like, that's what makes me great at PA. Like, I know the times that the crowd needs to get behind the team and the times when we need to be the 12th man in football or the 6th man in basketball and how the crowd can really change the trajectory of a game. Right. But I think those things mixed with my comedic timing and those type of things, it just separates me in the PA space And I just really enjoy it, bro. That's like one of my favorite. I wear a lot of hats, but doing PA and arena hosting, like, because you get instant results.
In case you missed it.
Brought to you by Fun 360 Cam. Smile, spin, share.
Let's get back to the pod with Christopher Lee and B-Dot.
Being able to be comedic with it helps out. There's other PA announcers, like you said, they just give the stats and they're just dry. But you elevate yourself and elevate game day because of your comedic background. Has that always been part of you from the very beginning?
Yeah. That's the only way I know how to operate. Like, in anything I'm doing, like, I'm just unapologetically me, Chris. Like, for real, for real. Like, I'm just unapologetically me, bro. Like, and the very first time I did PA for Winston-Salem State, again, our chancellor then, Harold Martin, who just retired from A&T, he came to me in 2004 and he said, listen, man, I've been to like events you've hosted. I hear you with the band during the games. And I like the way you were professional. Like, you, when you're with your students, you talk a certain way. When you're with the alumni, you talk a certain way. I like that. Would you have any interest in doing PA for the football games? And I was like, yeah, heck yeah. So August 2004 is when I had my first game. And I forget who we played against, but I still have the article, yo, that they wrote up after the game. And the guy who wrote the article, his name is John Dale. And John Dale still writes for the Winston-Salem Journal. And that is my brother now. Like, I love that dude. But the first article he wrote about me was the most embarrassing article that has ever been written about me. Well, not the most since then. I've had some pretty atrocious. But that was a pretty embarrassing freaking article. Like, I'm talking about the, because what happened was the AD from the other school, I want to say it was Catawba, but I don't want to quote that. But the AD from the other school was super pissed, felt super disrespected by the way I called the game. And it was my first game, Chris. So all I knew was to make us, our side very, very lit and to not make the other side lit at all. That's all I knew. And tell what's going on the field. So when we would make a tackle, it was big tackle, number 23, Chris Buller. When they make a tackle, tackle, Brian McLaughlin. When we score a touchdown, touchdown! When they score a touchdown, touchdown, zero. Like, but I wouldn't even say the names on their jerseys. I would just say their numbers. Wouldn't even say their names, nothing. It was like, so this is the most unprofessional PA. We will never play Winston-Salem State again as long as that's the PA announcer. Like, I'm talking about drug me through the mud.
Right.
The AD Chico Caldwell brought me in. He was like, listen, bro, the energy you had, all of that, keep that. But learn the professional side, too. And if you could merge those two, bro, you could be very successful in this. And I'll never forget that conversation with Chico, yo. And I was like, all right. And that article and that conversation motivated me to want to do the right part professionally. So even though I am going to have a super lit and I'm not going to show y'all no love, you still won't be able to say that I was unprofessional. You'll never be able to say that I was unprofessional. You might not have liked the way that I damn had the crowd booing the refs and booing y'all and all kinds of stuff, but you can't say that I did not keep it professional as it pertained to the game portion.
But now that you're the professional, you just say the names on the jersey.
Yeah, and not the numbers. Marshall 6. I still do the same bland touchdown, though. Like, if they score a touchdown, touchdown. And for us, I go crazy. Touchdown! Like, it's a test down. Like, they be holding the stopwatch to see how long I can hold. Touchdown! I'm at 13 seconds is my longest.
Are you standing up? Are you sitting down when you do it? How you doing?
Sitting down, but always on the edge of my seat type joint. And I'm just all, I'm locked into the game and I'm standing up and I'm just, and in basketball, I'm the same way. I'm like, if it's a big shot, like I'm locked in the game, man. Like, because I love it. Like, I love football. I love basketball. Like, I don't know if I could be as successful as a soccer PA, a PA announcer. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some, like, people have asked me, we want you to come out and do the baseball games and we want you to come out and do the tennis matches and those type of things. And I'm like, I appreciate the offer, but like, I'm not knowledgeable enough. I really think a PA announcer, arena host, not so much, but PA announcer needs to have knowledge of the game, like extensive knowledge of the game, because You need to know when to control the crowd, to when to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to know how, that this third down is big, but this third down right here is major. And I need you. You was loud on that third down, but I need you. And you need to be able to deliver that. And under, and like, so it's, those components matter to me.
I mean, it's you're controlling the atmosphere. You're controlling what's going on. I mean, I remember you being at Carolina and just hearing you go off, and the energy in the room was just like, you know, what did Jordan say?
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
I mean,
the ceiling is the roof. The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
Roof. Thanks, Mike. Hey, Mike. Thanks.
Welcome.
Michael Jordan. F them kids. Michael Jordan.
But buy my shoes.
But buy my shoes.
But I mean, it's so what is the preparation like, man, getting ready for the game?
Wait, before I answer that, let me just jump back, because you were mentioning inside the Dean Dome. And
right.
Those moments were important to me because I was trying my best to dispel that wine and cheese crowd moniker that our audience has. And where I knew that going in, this is inside the preparation part of it, right? Because every job is different. So going into the Carolina job, I knew that we had the knock on us. Oh, you got all these old alumni down here around the court. They don't get loud. They don't make no noise. They sit back and watch like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
My thought process to that was, these alumni were once super passionate fans. That's the only reason you're going to buy forever long tickets forever, unless you're a passionate fan. So it's in them to be passionate. They're just old now, so they can't be passionate for 40 freaking minutes. So my job was to find those pockets where I needed them to get up. I needed them to make, they don't have to get up and make noise all the time. That's not necessary. Sometimes we just swag service. Sometimes we just laughing at people on the dance cam. But listen, this is when I need y'all to get up. This is when the guys need you. It's not, everybody can cheer when we're up 20 points. We're down 8-0. Coach just had to call a timeout and talk to the boys. That's my job, to talk to the crowd at the same time. This right. is when we need, I need you up on your feet. We need, and that's when you start to see. So it's educating the audience as well. Like,
that's
like
good.
I was doing my first game at FAMU, and while they were kicking the kickoff, like the football team was pointing, but everybody in the stands wasn't pointing. So, I need all my rattlers. We're pointing. If you need to know what direction, look at the football team. We're pointing. Everybody's pointing. We're pointing. And I did that for every kickoff and every kickoff return. By the end of the game, everybody's pointing.
They didn't know his way to point, right?
If you need to know, because you got to understand, every fan ain't knowledgeable to be like, all right, they're kicking this direction. So but if we're receiving, then we need to be pointing this way. Like, and see, the thing is, like, you have to be able to talk to a 5-year-old and a 55-year-old and an 85-year-old all in the same sentence.
True.
You have to be able to do that. Like, and you can't talk to everybody like they're all knowledgeable about what a holding penalty is or defensive pass interference. You can't. And that's something else that separates me. Like, I do a lot of educating in the entertaining. So you don't really realize that I'm educating you in this moment, but I am. And I did a podcast for some of the FAMU folks, and they was like, something that sort of, you know, we wanted to know, like, you, during the kickoffs, we're pointing. What's the point in that? Why are you doing that?
Why are we pointing?
And I said, well, he was asking me, why was I telling the crowd to point? And I'm like, because, bro, everybody in the building doesn't know to point. And it's very important that we're all on the same page from the very beginning of the game. Like, there is not one point in the game where I want you to feel like you can sit down and not pay attention to what's going on the field. From the opening kickoff, you are involved with this game, whether you're pointing in this direction or that direction. And when you're setting that standard, then people become accustomed to participating. If you don't, then they're going to participate when they want to participate. But if you're giving them directions and everybody's doing it, now you look silly as hell if you're not pointing and everybody else pointing. What, you too right. cool to point? You right. see what I'm saying? It's that type vibe. Like, even with jump around, like, people get mad at me because I'll be on the mic saying, everybody jumping. I need everybody jumping. Why do you feel like you have to say that? Because if you look around, everybody's not jumping. They see mm-hmm. the student section jumping. They're like, man, they're cool over there jumping. No. Everybody should be jumping. Do you realize how intimidating the Dean Dome could be? It's the biggest gym in the country, dog, basketball-wise. And if everybody in there was jumping around, like, no visiting team knows what to do with that.
Right, right. At Virginia Tech, their inner Sandman is their thing for the football team. And they play for all the other sports. But 66,000 people are jumping up and down the inner Sandman.
It's intimidating. Well,
yes.
It's intimidating.
Very intimidating. And you said something that was key, man, that you got to entertain and know that a 5-year-old is going to be there, a 25-year-old is going to be there, 55, 85. And that's the same thing with building content, like video content. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have to keep all that in mind. You know, the video can't go too crazy with all these special effects because you're going to lose the person who only got one eye.
Okay.
You can't do
okay.
a little bit too bad. You can't do too much. I mean, you know, not add all this stuff because you think, you know, they may not understand it, but you have to be in that mindset that I have to entertain generations.
Yes. Yes. Musically, entertainment-wise, game-wise, Jumbotron-wise, like all of that has to, from 5 to 85.
5 to 85. Got to know who your audience is. Now, I ain't trying to plug them, but I do know that the older generation, they get up and they get excited about K&W. They love going to K&W.
They will. They're Canes and Walkers.
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
They will definitely hit that Canes and Walkers faithfully. After church service with them blouses on, them knee socks.
Boy, they are going quick.
And they will get jumped. They will get lit for games in spurts. You did? Yeah. And there will be so many of the older alumni in those spaces that will come to me and be like, I really appreciate what you do.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really even understand what it is that I'm doing and why they're saying that. But I do.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Because, again, that's the knowledge. Like, PA, like, telling the band to be quiet when we're on offense so that the offensive line don't get false start penalties. Like, those right. are things that the PA needs to be knowledgeable of and be able to integrate that into the game seamlessly. Where right. the fans are like, it's like Angela on a date with you or like Carla on a date with me.
Mm-hmm.
They turn their brains off. Women turn their brains off when they're with us. They don't have to worry about nothing.
Right.
My wife looked at me. We got to the freaking Maxwell concert. You got my ID? Yes, baby. It's in my wallet. I got your ID in my wallet. Yes, baby.
At the concert.
Off. Just like the fans, man. Fans' brains are off. They're just here to just, they're lunatics. They're fans. They're fanatics. That's what makes us fans. We are right. fanatics, bro. So we turn all responsibility up. So we're robots at that point. And now we need to be directed.
Right.
And that's where the PA does. He directs.
It's edutainment, man. It's edutainment. You got to educate them.
Yep.
And you
got
to entertain them at the same time.
At the same time. Absolutely.
At the same time.
Absolutely.
Man, you talk throughout the entire, how do you keep your voice conditioned and stuff like that?
That honestly has been just a blessing because I don't do the normal, like, people always talk about like T's and throat coats, paws and stuff like that. Like, I don't do a lot of those things. If I'm feeling something, I might do a warm beverage or warm tea or something like that. But like preparation for games, do I do something or do I eat a certain candy? I really don't, bro. Like I'm sadly and transparently, I'm very immature when it comes to that. I probably should do a much better job of that.
Yeah.
Seeing that my vocal cords is my lifeline.
Yeah.
But I don't really have any, like, because I remember talking to Pat, and Pat used to talk about, like, he had these throat lozenges he would daggone take during games and stuff like that. And he would give them to him, and I would use them, and they do open you up. You know what I'm saying? But it isn't something that I do consistently.
Has there ever been a name that was hard to pronounce, like in preparing for game day? Is just, or I think you understand what I'm trying to say?
Hell yes. Hell yes. Have you seen that commercial where the teachers up there trying to read their name and they got attitudes like, you mean the Quandrius? DeQuan, okay. I just had the door open and there was somebody standing over my shoulder. And I daggone made a play and I leaned. I'm like, yo. And she said, my son's name is.
Find out who broke into the PA booth right after this. You're listening to On the Jumbotron Podcast with Christopher Lee. Get ready for more laughs and more insight on the other side. Stay tuned.
What's happening? B-Dot here. And if you've ever been to a game that I've done the PA or arena hosting, you will agree there is no equivalent to the B-Dot experience. And I've noticed that through the years, some folks may want to book the B-Dot experience, but I'm already booked and I can't clone myself. So I figured, why not teach you the B-Dot effect of hosting and announcing? Who's hosting? So if you got aspirations to do what I do, whether PA announcing or arena hosting, I got a few spots left to my Who's Hosting 12-week course. All you do is shoot an email to whoishosting101@gmail.com. From there, you'll get a form to fill out where you have three different packages to choose from. All three have the basic option, 12 Zoom classes. The Interactive Observer awards you two games to attend and observe the process. The Sideline Companion, you get to shadow me at two games in the press box or at the scorer's table. Limited spots left. You will agree there is no equivalent to the B-Dot experience.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in.
Hell yeah. Have you seen that commercial where the teachers up there trying to read them names, and they got attitudes like, you mean DeQuandrius? Like, DeQuan, okay. Bruh, it gets bad, too. Like, I wish I could remember the name, but it was something like, say it was Christopher.
Right.
And the pronunciation was Christopher.
Right.
Christopher.
And the PH was a V, so it was Christopher. That's how it was pronounced, Christopher. But it was spelled Christopher.
Right.
I had a mom come up in the press box. I don't even know how. It's so many layers to get in a press box and so many different levels of clearance you have to check to get to upstairs in our press box. I just had the door open and there was somebody standing over my shoulder. And I daggone made a play and I leaned. I'm like, yo. And she said, my son's name is such and such Christopher.
Boy. When Mama Bear needs to get in,
bro,
Mama Bear gonna get in.
And I was so mad, like, for a bunch of fronts. I'm pissed because why in the hell is it spelled Christopher? Second, and I wanted to look at, like, look how y'all spelled this name. How am I supposed to know this is Christopher?
Right.
How am I supposed to know that?
Right.
I was so, then, how in the hell are you in here?
How'd you get in here?
How are you beside me saying this? Why was this not sent up or approached after the game?
Right.
How? And why are you so pressed that it ain't even halftime and you was up in this press box? Names are horrible. And it's the scariest thing, man. And people have no clue what you're going through up there trying to read all that. Like, they'll give you a whole read. All right, we need you to read this at halftime before the band comes out.
Mm.
So you got to proofread it just to make sure it ain't no Ron Burgundy typos in here with the wrong dates and all kinds of foolishness.
Right.
Then, like, for, like, senior nights and homecomings where you just got, like, 100 names to read.
Right.
And you got to read their name, what city they from, what instrument they play, their mom and their daddy name, the escorts that's with them, all the names with them, and them all been handwritten in here.
Bro.
And you don't know if that's an E or an A, and you don't really find out until you say the name wrong as hell, and they look up at you at the press box, like, and I'd be very serious. I'd be like, I guess I messed that up. I apologize. Like, what do you want me to do? It's a million names up here. And y'all got all these vowels and consonants thrown all around in this boy name.
Right. Like Aaron.
Bruh. Aaron. That is Aaron.
Balake?
Bro, you have no clue, man. That is the scariest thing. Like, pre-game, every game, during the national anthem, whatever sport, that's when I take my time to say my prayer. And every game in my prayer, it is always, God, please let me have minimal mistakes with these names and these reads. Like, every game, I've done it for 20 years. God, please, minimal stakes with these names and these reads.
That is hilarious.
Because it's so, like, it's a lot of pressure. Like, it's a lot of pressure. I'm glad that reading is one of my strong suits. I really, really am, because I was never scared to read in front of the class or read with one finger under the word. That was never me. I'm good with that. So, but if reading isn't your strong suit, like, you're just good with the play-by-play, but and you have to read them live reads, oh, boy, the struggle.
Right. And I bet right now, I bet there are people trying to read and understand what the FFCS is. I know people have been looking at the entire episode. So go ahead and tell them what that means.
Freestyle Funny Comedy Show. And the Freestyle Funny Comedy Show was a brand that I founded with five, six very, very, very entertaining gentlemen. You may know some of them. But it was four of us doing comedy. And the four of us was myself, Darren Brand, Osama Ben Drankins, and Chico Bean. The four of us traveled the country doing stand-up. We started it back in 2009. It was a stand-up and improv show. And then the goal for it was for us to get on television. And myself, Darren, and Bean, of course, all got on Wild and Out type deal. Drankins now travels with Bean when he's touring and performs with him. So Freestyle Funny was, it's a staple. It was like the foundation for what 85 South is doing. If you like what 85 South is doing, that's basically what we were doing, but we would have stand-up involved in that. We would play improv games, and it was a vibe, man. It was a dope vibe. From 2009 to 2019, we dissolved right before COVID.
I got you, dude. And improv, and is probably a lot of what you do in the booth, too, on game day.
Absolutely.
I mean, just knowing you and your personality is a whole lot of improv.
That's what makes it different, man. That's what separates me. And the sad reality for that, Chris, that I've had to accept is that's not everybody's tea. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some organizations that are much more conservative that really, really enjoy just a very pedestrian style PA. And no knock to that style, because, you know, there are some very talented pedestrian sounding, monotone sounding PA guys. Mm-hmm. But that's just not my style. That's just not my swag. That's just not my energy. Mine comes from a space of HBCU culture, straight, unapologetically Black, unapologetically me, and that's just how I operate, bro.
What trends have you seen or are seeing in the PA business?
You said trends.
Trends, like technology.
I thought there was an A right there. I haven't seen any, Chris. I haven't seen any, and I would like your next question. That's what I was going to answer with.
I ain't trying to get you, bro. I ain't trying to get you. We all try to get paid up this piece.
I haven't seen any, Chris. Next question.
I ain't trying to cancel nobody. So let me ask that again. Let me pronounce these words. How do you see your role as PA announcing evolving in the rise of technology and AI and everything else?
I think that, especially myself, like having a personality, being a brand outside of the PA, I think that bodes well for me. When FAMU was looking for a PA announcer and I put up, they're looking for a PA announcer. I'm interested. Y'all gonna let them know I'm the right choice. It was the most engagement they had on one of their posts up until that point this season. So when they're seeing stuff like that and it's like, yo, like a PA announcer with a presence, like I'm interested in that. What does he do? PA, or did he do comedy, podcasting? What does he do? And then I get in there and you see that I'm dope at PA. It's like, wow, you know, like there aren't many PA announcers that have hundreds of thousands of followers and that's locked in so much on social media and those type things. You dig what I'm saying? So like that separates me in that space. But honestly, I think that that's going to be the trajectory. Like, especially when you're talking about arena hosts and things of that nature, like getting content, behind the scenes content that nobody else can see, breaking down that wall where people can come into the press box. Like I do a lot of that on my for my subscribers on my Instagram. Like sometimes I go live from the press box and you get to see what it's like in there while I'm calling the game, whether we winning or losing, and you seeing the energy, we getting smacked, but I still got to bring energy for plays, or we winning and how the energy is in there. We super celebrating. Yeah. But then I got to come on and first down for the round, or, you know, just not be as biased in certain spots. You just get to come in and see all of that. So I think that's the trend moving forward, especially as far as my platform is concerned, just sort of showing more behind the scenes of how that whole world operates. Like being, when I was working for Carolina, like pregame stuff, just showing the boys warming up and stuff before the game, like that stuff that most, the average fan doesn't even know is going on.
Like behind the scenes type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
And you get an, like when you're doing PA and arena hosting, you get that behind the curtain visual that only you have. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing it in a respectful way, not trying to exploit, not in the locker room, trying to get, for not anything to that, but it's just for the fan experience, for the overall right. fan experience and showing them different sides that they might not see otherwise.
What kind of things are on the script that PA announcers need to be aware of, like the outlines and stuff like that?
That's honestly something that that's something else that we cover in my Who's Hosting course, because okay. it's important to be able to understand a script. And when they're done correctly, you'll have your elements 1 through 50. And in the elements, everybody will have their own. The PA announcer will have his. The arena host will have his. Your video guys will have theirs. And sometimes it gets so funky that it'll be highlights on what your parts are. So when I'm doing PA, I know I have this to read during this timeout. This time out, I have no reads. It's all video board stuff. I can just sit back and chill. And so you're looking at the script. That's why you need to be at the game 2 hours before the game. So you can look through your script, make sure everything is what it's supposed to be. We are doing this here. We are doing that here. The honeybees are performing here. Then we're going to have, like, those things are important and knowing where you're supposed to be. Reading through the script one time to make sure that you know what words are there. Nothing worse than that. I'm not reading something. And it, Helsinki. I remember one time the it was the Helsinki group, Hilinski, or it might have been two L's, but them I's and them L's just started looking like just a bunch of, and it was like Hilin, and I'm talking about I've just got the Hilin, woo, and I just said on the mic, woo, Helsinki guys. And people still joke me about that. Like I was at a WSSU game last week, no, a couple weeks ago, and bro said, "Hey," because I had a Helsinki read and I read it. That halftime dude said, "Hey, you've been working on your Helsinki's." I see. I said, "Boy, you don't got my daggone face." Like, so people remember stuff like that. But again, addressing the elephant in the room, like right. just me stuttering on Helsinki, and then not saying nothing and then saying it right or acting like it never happened, right. everybody in the audience would have been like, "Oh, so you ain't gonna act like that word about killed you up there in that press box? Like, you're gonna act like we all didn't all just hear you die by word up there?" Like, address it. Address everything. Like, you're the host. I tell them in the class, like, you're the host. So, like, if somebody came to your house and you were hosting, would you just let them wander to the bathrooms? No, you wouldn't do that. You would let them know, like, right now we're about to watch TV. After that, we're going to have food coming out. You need to go to the bathroom. You're a host. PA announcer, arena host, no different. We have the same obligations and responsibilities. This is our home. These are our guests for the night. Our job is to make them feel comfortable. Even the ones we don't like, even the visitors, we're still visit. Like, we still have to be, you know, respectful host. We don't have to agree, but we have to be respectful host. And that's how I try to carry that. But as it pertains to script read, there's a lot of words. Sometimes you don't need all those words. So I like to go through and mark out what I don't need and circle what I might and put a star beside something that I got multiple reads of and that type of stuff. But each game and each sport is different.
That's crazy, man. And that's good. I never thought about, you know, the host analogy like that, that your job is to take them through the game. Your job is to make them feel comfortable. Your job is to let them know what's coming up next and different things like that. I mean, because I go to games all the time and they just, I hear it, but I really don't think about it the way that you are explaining it to me. So I'm glad we're having this conversation. Give me one quick story. Like I kid you not, this thing really happened.
I kid you not, I got to a Carolina game to do arena hosting midway through the first half. Carolina, bro.
Wow.
I when I, it was my first year.
I have no words.
One of my friends, of course, everybody was hitting me up wanting tickets, wanting to go to games, everybody. And one of my partners who helped me with my cars, I was like, yo, bro, like, we can go to a game. He was like, bet, bet. And as the arena host, they would always give me one ticket for somebody that is doing some camera work for me or anything like that. So I told him he could get the ticket. He was like, bet. So we dropped. So he wanted to drive because he had this Maserati truck. Bet, say less. I'm gonna ride with you. When I got to him, we was already pushed for time. Like, I was already going to be pushing it if I was speeding.
Right.
It's raining. He's not speeding. And traffic just happens to be I'm talking about driving through Burlington. It might have been an accident or something. Like, it was just, like, I was just watching the time just tick, 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 tick. I'm like, and I've never been late to a game in 20 years. And of all the freaking games, a Carolina game, dude.
Who were they playing?
I don't even remember. I don't remember, Chris. I know when I got there, I'm talking about, mind you, and all I'm thinking about is, man, we still got to park. Then we got to run. We got to get inside. Like,
go through security.
All the pregame stuff I usually do, I can't do any of that stuff. Like, I got to just walk into the student section. Like, I'd already missed two timeouts. Like, oh, my God, I was a wreck. And when I got there, like, everybody was so accommodating. Like, you're fine. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We're so happy you're here. We're glad you're here. So glad you made it. We didn't know if you were going to be able to make it. And I felt so... That was one of the first times, well, not one of the first times, but that was one of those times where I just remember being like, they really like me here, yo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's some of those jobs where it's just like, you feel like you're just an employee. You feel like you're really there. Like, they put you in the corner and, all right, your time. Go do your dance, monkey. All right, sit back down. Like, that type energy. You, for real, I've done this enough to have those type vibes. This is one of the first times I was just like, dang, man, like, And honestly, it made me feel more embarrassed. Like, they rock with me this hard, man. I'm sitting here late riding with this goofy. Like, and I remember we was in the car. And he just felt me getting tense and just exhaling and like, speed up, dude, damn. And he just looked at me one time like, he's like, bro, I know I ain't going as fast as you want me to go. Do you want to drive? And I'm like, nah, man. Like, nah, just drive. At this point, just drive. I'll get there when I get there. But that was devastating.
I did not know that story.
That was devastating.
I did not know that. And we close. I did not know that story.
That was devastating.
Oh, my God.
That was devastating.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, like, bro, we took Kevin to Carolina to drop him off, bro.
Right.
Like, we, like, being in when we worked in Carolina, that was the best time ever. Like, people don't understand. Like, I remember being so jealous of you. Like, not envious, but jealous. Right. Like, he is getting to live. We grew up the biggest Tar Heel fans ever.
Right.
So to be able to be in that space, bro, like, to that point, like, I tell people all the time, like, that's when I stopped working at Carolina, that was the first time I realized that you can grieve more than just a person. Like, you can grieve losing a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when it's a job you love. And I remember putting that on Facebook, like, you know, up until this point, I felt like I thought that the only grief one could have was grief of a family member, a person, you know, that type of a loss of life. But losing a job you love is the same equivalent. Like, the levels of depression you go through, the just denial and like resentment and anger and like all of those, like, you go through all of that, dog.
Because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with that passion. I mean, you, when you're passionate about something, bro, it's all over you.
Yes.
It's all over you. And when it goes away, I mean, your heart hurts.
Yes.
You don't feel like getting out of bed.
Yes.
You don't feel like eating.
Yeah.
I mean, and it could be, you know, some pound cake right there next to you. You don't feel like doing nothing.
Nothing. And people don't understand, like, the same way when you're grieving the loss of a family member, like, the same way if somebody comes up to you, they wouldn't come up to you and be like, dang, man, so So your mom died. How did your mama die? They wouldn't say mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But with your job, they're like, dang, man. So what happened to Carolina, man?
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, and right. to the same point, like, you wouldn't come up to me, ask me how my mom died, because you know that would make me feel somber and relive moments that I didn't want to relive. The same way when you ask what happened to Carolina, I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but people don't understand that it's levels to those types
you're right. of things, dog. You are definitely right on that. You're definitely right on that. I mean, because I remember when my time there was over, I had to question my value, bro.
Right.
I had to feel like and see, like, okay, am I still me?
Right, right, right.
I mean, because we are diehard Carolina fans.
Yes.
And so to be able to work there is a lifelong dream.
Yeah.
That's almost like getting into heaven and then getting kicked out.
But what's crazy about it, though, Chris, is it was, yes, that's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. But what's crazy is I never had aspirations to work at Carolina.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, that was never on my bucket list. Like, right. going to Carolina when we was in high school, yeah, that would have been great. But being able to be in Carolina's locker room, I never in a million years thought how? I'm mm-hmm. nowhere near good enough a basketball player to freaking get in Carolina's locker room and be able to shoot baskets on Carolina's, have my son here shooting basket warm-ups and talking to players. Right. How? No way. Ow. I never had that on my bingo card. So to get that, it's like, you're exactly right. Like, but even still, like, the goal is to get to heaven. That was never a goal. So to be given this, to hit this lottery, to win this lottery ticket, and then to snatch your damn lottery ticket away from you.
Right, right. You just cover yourself up.
Just get my $40 off the dresser. Just let me go home.
Speaking of aspirations, and I just saw the star.
Gosh.
Would you ever want to be PA announcer for the Cowboys?
Yes. That's my goal, to be PA announcer. Not to be the PA announcer for the Cowboys. One of my goals is to be PA announcer for the Panthers, though. Like, I would love to turn up Charlotte. Like, that's what I thought my... What?
What would you say about Bryce Young?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Rewind. Go back.
That man is built like a high schooler, for real, man. It is insane. I don't know how you look at Bryce. That's what pisses me off, though. There are people that get paid big money, Chris, to say, this is CJ Stroud, this is Bryce Young. I can get all the footage I want, the interviews, I can touch their biceps and see them side by side. I can do all, and I am taxed with this decision. Which one do I want? I'm going to put Bryce over this guy. You get paid millions to make that decision.
And millions?
And millions. How? How do you get paid millions to make that decision? And make that decision?
Let's go back to PA.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cut this out. You might mess up my chance again with the PA.
So PA announcer for the Panthers, that's a dream?
Yeah, man, for sure. Like, just being on that level, NFL PA would be super ideal. When you say Dallas, absolutely. Just being a Cowboys fan, like, I would super love that. But I don't know anymore, like, what it sort of scares me doing PA or working for a team I love, because after losing Carolina, I was in a real dark place.
Been there.
I was in a real dark place, man. Like, it was, and I still to this day, like, I don't know if I can go in the Dean Dome right now. Like, I
haven't been back.
Like, going in there and knowing where I used to stand and knowing what I would be doing at a time, I don't know if I want that emotional baggage. I don't want to be walking around and people saying, especially if I got my hat on and they, hey, man, you're here. Can we get a picture? Why are you not down? I don't want to go through a game of that, man. So I would just rather stay away and not even have to deal with that.
It's like your girl being with somebody else.
It hurts, man. Like, it hurts. So I don't know. I would love the idea of working for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
If I could work there for 20 seasons, absolutely. Sign me up right now. But if it's going to be three and out like a bad drive, nah.
All right. You can only pick one for the rest of your career. PA announcer or arena hosting?
Oh, that's easy. PA announcer.
PA?
Yeah. PA announcer is easier just because, you know, I'm getting a little older in the tooth. So, like, running around in the stadiums and stuff, like, people don't understand. As arena host, you do more running than some of the players. Like, you're up and down the court. You're up and down. Sometimes you got to go up in the stands and do it.
Especially the B team.
Down, like, what do you say?
Especially the B team.
Fact. Especially Blue Steel. You definitely on the court more than them. What are you talking about? Like, so, like, there are some days, like, for real, like, where your legs are aching. Like, you did so much. And you don't realize it in that moment. But the next day when you wake up, it's like, yo, you got to go get, like, a Deshaun Watson massage. Not like Deshaun Watson. Not like Deshaun Watson.
That's a whole different type of...
Yes, it
that's
is.
A whole different type of Watson, bro.
Nah, but like the wear and tear on the body is a little bit more on the arena host.
I get it.
And from the PA spot, I can really do both from PA. Like I can do halftime and I can do entertain. Sense. I mean, timeout reads. I can still get the crowd engaged. I can still do call and response stuff off the Jumbotron. So PA is really, really my strength. That's what I really enjoy the most.
All right, we're gonna rewind all the way back to the beginning. If you would have gotten on the team in high school, where would you be now?
Probably still in Greensboro, Chris.
Really?
Probably still in Greensboro, like, but like working a job, just a job, no career, working a job. Being entertaining in that job, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever job it would have been, like I would have been the guy at your job that's the funny dude. Man, I love when he come to work, man. He's so funny. They would have been telling me stuff like, man, you should do stand-up, man. Like you would be funny doing stand-up. It would have been that type of life for me. But I don't think that I ever would have pursued that. I think I would have just, honestly, just my goal would have tried to been like to be manager somewhere at like a Lorillard or Procter & Gamble or something probably.
Really?
Good benefits. I really do believe that because like before going to college, like I was working at Sears Credit Central, making good money. Like, and that's like, that was my goal, like to be a manager at Sears, bring in about 100K a year doing that, having a nice crib, couple cars, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was it. And going to college, I remember when my mom married Terry Croom, and Croom told me that I had to get out the house and I had to either go and get a job and get, or I had to get my own crib with my job or I had to go to college. But that fall, fall of 2000, I had to be out of their house. And I remember being pissed off. Like, mama, how you going to let this dude, how you going to let this dude tell me I got to leave? Like, for real? And I left angrily. And that's honestly why me and my mom sort of relationship sort of, and she, so like, so when I got to college, that's when it was just like, even still, like, I really had no direction for PA or none of that. Like, I just wanted to be where all the chicks was at. The chicks was in the modeling troupe. So I went and auditioned for the modeling troupe. I got in the modeling troupe.
I remember that.
Like, all right, say less. And like, when I first got to college, shut up, Chris.
I forgot all about that. Oh my God.
When I first got to college, I was turning 21.
Right.
And you know, the most important person on a college campus is a 21-year-old. Right. I was a 21-year-old freshman. So I was a freshman going to the liquor store. So it automatically gave me some status. You dig? So with that bit of status, and I'm in the modeling troupe, da da da. And I didn't really like modeling, but that's where the chicks was at. And my personality, they was like, he's funny. He's. Can get liquor. Let's put him in the. So I made the troupe, and then I was real creative. So my very first show and only show, my scene was like I was dressed all gothic, and I walked out, and damn, no, they rolled me out like I was like a Hannibal Lecter character, and they rolled me out on the joint and set me down on the front, and I bust out of my joint and did my moves, and everybody was just going crazy. I'm talking. It was, and I was like, yo, I don't like the modeling part. But right. Being on that stage and the crowd going crazy, like, I need that. And I asked them, I was like, I don't want to model, but can I host the show next year? And they let me host. And from there, that's when I fell in love with just hosting events and that type vibe. And just, but like, if I never go to college and I'm like, I don't find that. And if, and I think if I play football my senior year, I really think I try to pursue football on some ignorant level. And I try to go somewhere to play football. And when that fails and I drop out and I come back to Greensboro, it's like, fuck it, I'm back with Angie and I'm back with Seven and we just smoking weed and drinking ice houses. And like, that's how we was living. And I was comfortable in that. Like I come from a ratchet background. Like I'm comfortable in ratchetness. I'm comfortable in oodles and noodles and Kool-Aid and like weed smoking, black and mild smoking, winos and crackheads. Like I'm comfortable in that space. So I would have just adapted to that. I really believe that.
Oh, do you know what you just said, bro? Do you know what you just put out there? Man, like life is so different for you and all the people that you have blessed, all the people that you have entertained, all the people that rock with you. And how it could have all been different, you know, with you joining, being on the football team. I mean, it's crazy. That's the same thing like what Cameron, I was telling you earlier, that Cameron was talking about. I mean, if he would have made the basketball team, he wouldn't have been, right, you know, cheering.
He would have been pursuing that. He'd been pursuing that.
Yeah. I mean, because that's all he wanted to do. And his friend made the team. Mm-hmm. And now his friend is doing something like, not even sports related.
Right.
But here
right.
This cat is doing stuff that's sports related. Like he did the NBA finals. I mean, he was on the court.
Right.
Cheering.
Right.
Dancing with professionals. And so, I mean, it's crazy, bro.
It is. Like my folks sports, one of my good friends sport, he's the one that made me think about it in that context from being in the locker room because we were at homecoming. He pulled me to the side. He was like, bro, I don't think you understand what you're doing, like, and how tremendous that is. Like, I played basketball on a high level. Like, I played for Winston-Salem State. Like, my goal was to play college ball and NBA ball. I had dreams of being in the Carolina locker room. I had dreams of doing layups and shooting drills on Carolina in the Dean Dome. You never had any of those. And you're living my dream.
You're living my dream.
That's insane. And it was like, from then I was like, I bet it's so many other people just like that. Like, that dude can't play basketball for nothing.
Right.
And he's in there with Coach Roy Williams taking selfies and dapping up Hubert Davis.
Yep. So, going to his office, sitting down, talking to him, hanging out with him.
Crazy. It's crazy.
I'm like, I'm not supposed to be in this room. But
I'm not supposed to be in this room. Do y'all realize how much I love y'all? Wait a minute, wait. And I get a check. God, please don't ever let this end. Ever, never.
And healthcare.
And in. End soon.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy. Brian, we're about to wrap up. B-Dot. Tell me the name.
Well, you just said my government that nobody else uses ever unless Carla is upset with me or I'm in court. But the B clearly comes from Brian. But in 2000, when I started at WSSU, that was the birth of the dot-coms. Everything was dot-com. That was the birth of the internet phase. Everything was the Y2K, like all of that. And it was a dude on campus from New York. His nickname was .com. And I thought that was the dopest name. Like, cause he was just saying, I'm plugged in, yo, I'm .com. Like that. And I was like, God, that is, oh, I wanted that name. I wanted my name to be .com just cause it was just, I wonder what he is doing now, yo. That name was so fire to me. So yeah. In that same vein, one of my folks, Rico, and to this day, every time I see him for homecoming or anywhere, I just hug on him and be like, you know, you name me, bro. But he was like, man, it's a bunch of B's. It's the that's the B and B Merle and B this and B Dawson and B man, you B Dot.
Wow.
Like ain't no other B's. Like when it's you, you B Dot, dang. Said it just like that.
Wow.
And I was like, dang, B Dot. Yeah, ain't nobody else like me. I'm my B Dot. You dad gone right, though. Ain't nothing after this. I'm the last B, B Dot. And I was like, but I don't want to spell it D-O-T. That's too common. I want to spell it like A-H-R. That's phonetically. So D-A-H-T, B Dot. Yeah, I like that. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Yeah, B Dot. Yeah.
Mm. B Dot. We talked about your course. Those that have stuck with this episode this long, give me your top five things that PA announcers need to know.
You need to know discipline, because you need to be disciplined enough to have your butt there 2 hours before the game so that you can be prepared.
Noted.
That's very important. You need to know the sport in which you're doing PA for. You need to know how to effectively control or impact an audience. And you need to know how to read.
How to say those names.
How to read anything. It ain't even just names, Chris. I'm telling you, man. Like, it's all types of businesses. It's all types of just, you have to read a whole block. And they be like, you only got 30 seconds to read this. And I'm talking about you are speeding through that joint. We're so excited you have decided to try it out. But you can't just read it like that. You still got to put enunciation. And you still got to make sure certain words print and that it. That's something else is important to me. Like my background in radio is effective when it comes to PA announcing because, you know, just putting certain tone and with like stand-up comedy, like the delivery, the theatrics that you have to put beside certain sponsorship. Just as like, you know, Pepsi, the official soft drink sponsor of your WSSU Rams. Nobody's going to hear that. Pepsi, it's the official soft drink for your WSSU Rams. Like it prints, like different words need certain tones. And so like being able to read and speak well, like that's very important. Being able to impact the audience, that's very important. Knowledge of your game, very important. Discipline, like for real, being prepared and being there early, very important.
So I typically just say, thank you for joining us today on the Jumbotron. How would you close it out?
Hey, hope you enjoyed this episode of the Jumbotron. We out here.
Okay. Bye.
There he is. B Dot, my brother. I love you, bro.
Love you too, man. Hey, seriously, I think this is a dope platform, bro. And I think this is a lane that is really untapped. Like, not to do a cheap plug here, but just like my course. Like, there is nowhere where people who have aspirations to do this can go. And, like, there are so many different components to game day entertainment that you don't just have to be a PA announcer or arena host. You can write scripts. And, like, that's what I've been, like, it was one female that signed up for my course. Her name was Sheena. Sheena took it very seriously. Like, and I had to go to do a tournament in South Carolina. And they needed a game day manager. She had never done it before. I said, I got one, because that's what when she took the course, she was like, you know, I thought I wanted to do arena hosting, but I like the game. I like being able to sit back and just do. So I suggested her. She typed up what she could do. They hired her. She got booked for the weekend doing game day entertainment for the first time in a freaking HBCU tournament in South Carolina. And because she's my protege, she's my pupil, I'm making sure she, you know, got everything. They loved her. Signed her for next year, 2025. Like, so it's that type of stuff. Like, and I think this is that same type of energy. This is a platform where people who are knowledgeable and don't even realize they're knowledgeable will right. stumble upon this or get suggested this or referred this. Like, I'm not going to pay you for it, but I'm definitely going to use your episodes to help teach my course.
Well, you know what? I ain't going to pay you for this.
Dang it. Thought it was a check that came with this.
Yeah.
A Nike check.
Bro, I love you, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the laughter.
No doubt.
Thanks for educating the crowd. Everything that we do here, we want to entertain, we want to inform you, and we want to inspire you. Go out to a game, go enjoy B-Dot at WSSU. If you're down in Florida, FAMU. If you're up in Charlotte, he'll be there. Or you can just find him online. He's everywhere.
Everywhere. B.TV is everywhere. B-D-A-H-T TV on all social media platforms. Come holler at your boy.
All right, man. We out. It's a wrap.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Thanks for watching another episode of On the Jumbotron Podcast with host Christopher Lee. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at On the Jumbotron Podcast. On YouTube, follow it on the Jumbotron. This podcast is produced by Great Shot Productions. Opening and break music is produced by DJ LLA. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, email us at otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com. Until next time, stay creative and humble, and always entertain, inform, and inspire.
How do I end this thing? How do I get up out of here?